Well, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning from her place out there in Colorado. Mary Irwin joins us this morning. Mary is the author of a book entitled The Unsolved Mystery of Noah's Ark. Mary, good morning.
Well, good morning.
It pretty much tells the story of the book right on top. How did you and your family first get interested in doing something like looking for something like Noah's Ark?
Well, it wasn't my idea. I was busy raising five children. But an old gentleman came to my home to talk with my husband. He had been on the Mount Ararat, maybe 15, 18 times, always had permission. And suddenly the mountain was closed, and they weren't giving any hiking permits, and he was really upset. So he came to my husband because Jim had been to the moon on Apollo 15, and thought perhaps his fame could open the door for them to go back over there. Well, Jim said, well, why not? My late husband was an adventurer for sure. And he wrote to the president of Turkey, and they gave him permission, and off they went. Months later, the 12 of them.
These were not easy trips.
No. And I know that so many men, as well as women, really think that this is a Sunday school picnic. And I'm thinking, oh, please, go over there once and then come back and tell me about your picnic.
You may find a picnic from some of the natives once in a while, but it won't be a picnic, no doubt.
No. Very, very harsh circumstances. Definitely third world. You don't have porta potties and so forth. That's just the way it is. It's tough.
It's really hard for us who live in such comfortable conditions for the most part here in the United States to really understand what a trek like that could be like without experiencing it firsthand.
I agree.
And you did it as a family. You had an opportunity to do this with family, too. Does that make it even more special that you were able to not only go out on a quest like that, but do it with people who are close to you?
Yes and no. Sometimes people can get in the way, but then other times it can be... It can be a very special bonding, which it really was with my oldest son, Jim. And he was on television with me about 3 weeks ago in Pittsburgh, talking about the trips over there and what he felt in the first place. He told me from the beginning, Mom, it's not here. Noah's Ark is not on Mount Ararat. But nobody ever wanted to listen to him.
Why does everybody, if it's not there, why does everybody go there? Is it just what they read in the Bible? Are they taking things too literally?
Well, it's not literal, Jim. Actually, if they would get the Bible and read that scripture carefully in Genesis chapter 8, where the ark landed, and you can ask almost anyone, where did the ark of Noah land? And they'll tell you the same thing. Oh, it landed on Mount Ararat. Well, that's not what it said or says. It says the mountains, it's plural. And so, of course, it's confused them because they don't know where the mountains of Ararat are. It's just something they've heard passed down from generation to generation.
Well, it's convenient that it's in an area of the world that is so very, very difficult to get around in that it would seem common sense that probably no one will ever find it if it's even still in existence today. It's been many thousands of years. But there are a lot of local stories that over there that can kind of throw you off a little bit, too.
Yes, that's how one of the reasons why I started taking them apart. I just went through every story with a fine-tooth comb. And I was willing to take on more stories, but as I prayed about it, that's not what I was supposed to do. I did what I was supposed to do and finished it. So some of those men actually were misleading to the public deliberately. Others, I think, were misled. Others, well, it's like kids playing telephone in a circle. You say one thing in their ear, and it comes around the circle, and it comes back, and it's not like what it started out to be. So that all had to be sorted out.
Sometimes you wonder if some of the local stories aren't tied to the local chamber of commerce trying to generate more interest over there.
Jim, that is exactly my heart, and I've said it 100 times. I says, listen, when are you guys going to understand? You have spent thousands. And I know Dick Bright, who is an airline pilot for United, he's probably spent $500,000 over there. I'm thinking, you know what, Dick? You're probably living in an apartment. That guy over there in Turkey is living in a house.
Well, Mary, you spent many, many years not just going there to the site and searching physically, but also researching as well, doing a lot of some of the other work. Why so much interest? Why did you put so much of your time into this?
Well, for me, I have to understand the whys and wherefores of things that I hear about. I want to know the truth. Just give me the facts, and I can accept that. But don't give me wild stories, because that can really annoy me. So that's, I guess that makes a good detective.
Some of the tough times. I know, for example, your husband had a hard time at times with some of the climbing and stuff, and there were some injuries and things involved, too. It's hard to imagine how difficult the terrain is to get around on.
Yeah, it is difficult to imagine. You just think that as you look at one of your own little mountains or hills, or you just hike right on up there. But that's not true, because Mount Ararat is a volcanic mountain. And because of that action over there, it is crumbly. It's called scree. It's like gravel. And sometimes you can hike up a couple of steps and slip back one. And then, again, if it's... A lot of glacier, then you have to be roped up and so careful. Otherwise, you may never be seen again. And there are those that's happened to. They have actually slipped into a crevasse in a glacier and were never seen again. You have to be very, very careful.
And you've never known darkness until you've been there without a flashlight, I suppose.
Well, that particular one night, that's absolutely true, Jim. Oh, absolutely true. And my husband had been over there a month earlier, and I hadn't been with him on that trip, but that's when he had that horrible, he didn't fall. They said he fell. He didn't fall. He was sitting down putting his crampons on his boots so he could cross a snowfield, when from way high up above, a rock and snow slide came careening down and smashed him in the top of the head, just mutilating his head. And, when they finally got him home, he looked like he'd been attacked by a grizzly bear. And yet that spirit in him of adventure, I got to go, I got to find it, just wouldn't let him rest. And so someone had called him and said, well, someone over there in Turkey said they saw something that looks like the Ark and here on this side, and do you think you can get back over there? And I'm thinking, oh, dear God, he's lost so much blood and was anemic and weak. And he, of course, said, yes, he'd go a month later. I said, well, you're not going without me. Because I just didn't think it was, when you get hit that hard in the head, I'm not sure what your judgment's like. So I went with him on that trek. And our son went with us and several other people. And that was a disaster. Should have never happened. And they did give us soldiers, but that turned out to be a joke in the end, because when it started getting dusk, we didn't notice that they had sneaked away from us and had gone on down to the campsite where the locals camp and raise their sheep in the summer, and left us alone on the side of the mountain in pitch blackness.
It's quite an adventure, and it's one that, for the most part, most of us can only even, hardly even dream about ever doing like this, but you spend a lot of time, a lot of resources, a lot of blood and sweat and all that kind of stuff, and I guess in the end, never found what you were looking for specifically, but in the end, when you look back, was it worth it?
Oh, absolutely. It was worth it, but the Ark of Noah never landed on Mount Ararat because it doesn't say so in the Bible. And yet we continue to just twist things, and because we've heard someone over there in Turkey say, oh, yeah, it's over here. We've seen it, or other people. I'm with you, Jim. I don't know about the Chamber of Commerce, but I know those people over there, and I know that in town they smoke on those hookah pipes, and dear God in heaven, I don't know what they're smoking. But you know what? If I smoke that, I might see things too.
Well, so many family stories, I'm sure, handed down through generations, too, and we all know how those can get twisted and turned around. But
sure.
Do you think Noah's Ark will ever be found by humans?
Yes, because I believe that in my book I tell the story that I have verified this one man was taken to see it. Everyone else is looking for it, but he was taken to see it. And it was an act of kindness by the locals that took him to see it. But it was not in Turkey. And it was broken in two by that time, too. And if you'll just look at the news report today, they had another earthquake over there in Iran. It's on a fault line. And so this is where Ed Davis saw what they told him, his guides, was the remains of Noah's Ark.
Mary, what do you want folks who read the book to take away from your story?
You know, Jim, I really want them to do their own digging. Don't take everything that you hear at face value or what you see either, because sometimes it can be very distorting. And dig. Find the truth for yourself.
Well, it's an interesting book. It's a very detailed read. There's a lot of information in here, and it's a very good book for folks to sit down and spend a little bit of time with. It's called The Unsolved Mystery of Noah's Ark, and it's available in hardcover and paperback, and also in the e-version as well. It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. And, Mary, you have a website now folks can check out as well.
That's correct. It is unsolvedmysteryofnoahsark.com.
And they can find out more, and can they order copies through that?
Yes, they can, and they can read a little bit.
Very good. Yeah. Well, Mary, thanks a lot for sharing your story. Some incredible, interesting stuff in there about some of the hardships and some of the successes and a few of the failures and things in there, too, that you went through to have this experience. And we really do appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us here this morning. Best of luck to you.
Oh, thank you so much, and you too.